This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Russell Dorsey, National MLB Insider for Yahoo Sports.
30 teams would love to have a guy that say, you're our closer, but that's not realistic.
Can I blow your mind, Russ?
Sure.
I completely agree with you.
Oh, my. Oh, we got Ray. We got a first.
Insider and analyst for Friday Night Baseball on Apple TV Plus.
Can we define a thirst trap? Because I feel like in today's day and age, like if I had on gray sweats.
Mitch has now entered the control
their
room.
Their shows more.
Definition?
Dump them.
Definition?
Can I say that?
No!
I can't say that.
Wow. Okay.
Mitch, by the way, Mitch Rosen came in to make sure everything was okay.
Mitch, I'm sorry if you get a call from the FCC.
Russell Dorsey.
I'm Russell.
On 670 The Score.
Well, that's fun to revisit. He joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. I don't know if he's on Twitch or not. Is Russ on Twitch?
Yeah, he's on Twitch.
All right, then you can join us on Twitch also, twitch.tv/670thescore.
Always makes it a more meaty segment when he joins us visually and in addition to the audio. Okay. Yeah, that's it.
Good morning, Russ.
Good morning, Russ.
Hello, friend. How are we doing?
Russ's face on Twitch was worth it. Oh, my goodness. That was hilarious.
You guys are crazy.
You look like a cartoon character.
That's wild, Marshall, even for you.
Wait, are you on a computer? Why do you have so much headspace above your head?
Dude, it's been one of those mornings, man.
Did you not eat your breakfast? Did you not get your 500 grams of protein this morning?
He got 7 miles in on his workout yesterday. Posted that.
What happened was I made a quick run to Dunkin' Donuts real quick to get my morning iced coffee that I know you love. And I had to rush to get my camera set up. So now we're good.
Now you're good. You look better now.
I do love a good Dunkin' iced coffee. I feel that.
You know, start every morning with one of these because it's about balance, Layla.
It is about balance. Like I heard a personal trainer once say, he told me the objective is to lose weight, not your mind.
Oh, okay.
100% accurate.
Isn't that great?
But I would push back and say part of losing weight is sometimes feeling like you're losing your mind.
And being able to deal with that? Fair. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yeah, you deal with it. But like you're going to be hungry sometimes and you figure that out.
Okay. Well, look, speaking of balance. This series, in a lot of people's minds, was more balanced than it should have been between the Cubs and the Rockies, even though the Cubs swept the Rockies. I take issue with that because a sweep is a sweep is a sweep. But also, the Cubs look really good right now. They're in a stretch of playing 21 straight games against below 500 opponents, and I said they should be able to get through this thing at 15-6, and they'd be able to call it a success. They are well above pace so far in this stretch because they've won all but three of those games.
I think you're a crazy person, Marshall.
Why?
Number one, if you ask me the question, I'm going to answer it for you. If they won all three games and they swept the series, the result was still the same. And the fact that they're playing the baseball that you wanted them to play with the results, like, at some point, it's just like, hey, they're winning baseball games. You're not going to win baseball games 15-1 every night. Like, yes, for as horrible as the Rockies are, you still have 26 guys out there trying to make a living. So you're not going to roll over and die. But they won all the games. So I don't know what the issue is.
I'm with you.
I think it's the fact that, like, for example, you know, Jed Hoyer talks about how the measure of a successful team is how well you're blowing a team out. So that's probably something to do with it. I would understand why that might be an expectation or a concern when it comes to trying to measure this team against a lesser opponent, right? That might be one of the metrics.
For me, I think people think you're supposed to beat teams like the Rockies and the White Sox and the Marlins and the Pirates 10-1 every night. The reality is baseball doesn't work like that. But if you're winning those games more than you're losing, you're getting the job done. Like, we would be having a much different conversation today if we said the Cubs got swept by the Rockies. Then I could understand why people would be upset, or they dropped 3 or 4 to the Rockies. But then they won all 3 games. And so I just think through the ebbs and flows of a season, it's not going to look pretty every night. But if the result is you're flying the W up there at Clark and Addison, that's going to mean a lot more at the end of the season than if you lost those games.
I also want to point out this, is that sometimes it's a measure of finding the solution. And there was a good example, actually, on Tuesday night, the game that we ended up going to, Russ, because it was a game. Well, yes, that did occur. Feel free to interject with your critique, because frankly, we critique you all the time and it's a two-way street. But also that game was won on the base pass. That was about whether or not you were catching people stealing, whether or not you were stealing bases yourselves, whether or not you were manufacturing outs. The battle was just to get on base in that game.
Yeah, and I think that's something we've talked about throughout the course of the season with the Cubs, is they find different ways to win on a nightly basis, right? It's not just PCA, save us, even though he's been doing it a lot.
He saved them Tuck, last night. Save us.
But that when you have good players, they tend to do that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But the fact that they can win defensively, they can win on the bases, they can win with baseball IQ against a lesser opponent, that tells you that they're prepared for those moments. Those moments happen a lot. Where? In October. When you get to the playoffs and you need to win in different ways, or you need to be smarter than the other team on the bases, have a better baseball IQ, that pops up all the time in October. And the teams that don't have it, it pops up in really bad moments. Like the Yankees last year were really bad at base running all year long. And you know when it really caught up with them? In the World Series. Mm-hmm. Not great. So the fact that you're seeing them do the little things well now against bad teams means that's going to come up big when they get to October against good teams.
So here's a stat for you, Russ. In 18 games before being sent down, Matt Shaw hit 172 and was 10 for 58 in 18 games. Since then, he got called up. He's played half as many games, only 9. And he's got 13 hits in 34 bats. That's 3 more hits in half as many games. And he's batting .382. How good can Matt Shaw be in your eyes this season going forward?
This season?
This season.
I think, what's the OPS since he's come back, Marshall?
962.
It's a cool 962, you know.
No home runs. 962 with no home runs.
That's
I think
wild.
The fact that he looks super comfortable right now, there's a plan of attack, it looks calm and under control, is exactly what you want to see from your young third baseman. And I think an over 950 OPS might be a little unfair. He's swinging it right now, which is fantastic. If you can get 8 to 850 OPS out of Matt Shaw the rest of the way, you're playing with house money. Because to me, you have so many guys in that lineup that are giving you 950 OPS. Like, to ask that of your rookie third baseman seems a little unfair.
Right.
But if you can get 800 to 825 OPS the rest of the way from a guy hitting 7th, 8th, or 9th, you're doing really well. And I think the fact that he was been able to go down to AAA, work on things, come back up because we knew he's going to get another opportunity, and he's playing well and doing all the things that they wanted him to do, that shows a sign of a player that's not only as talented as you thought he would be, but has the maturity and wherewithal to be able to withstand the ebbs and flows of, you know, being a big leaguer.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Russ, I know you understand this feeling, but why are Marshall and I unnecessarily hype after the White Sox series finale against the Mets?
Yeah, that's me.
But
I don't know. You guys explain it to
me. Okay. And also, I'll use the help of Chuck Garfine because I think he had a really good stat regarding the Mets team ERA. So the White Sox scored, they have the lowest in the major leagues, and the White Sox scored the most runs against them in a single game out of any team this season in the 9 runs that they had. And yes, I'm aware that good teams occasionally have clunkers. But I would like to celebrate these moments, especially when the lineup produced the way it did without Luis Robert. I'm going so far as to asking a question in the picks or the 5 on it that I think is worthy of your opinion. I know that there's a chance that it's going to be more of a seller's market than a buyer's, or there are more teams selling. But could Andrew Benintendi get moved? Like, he has value right now. He's hitting.
I imagine so. And I think if you're Chris Getz, you're like, yes, Andrew Benintendi, keep hitting. Especially if Luis Robert Jr. isn't going to hit anymore. Like, I don't think that's a thing. I think that's a guy that you can look around and say, on a contender, we need a corner outfielder that can get on base, but every once in a while hit the ball out of the ballpark. Yeah, I think that there's value in that. I'm not upset with you guys being excited about the way the White Sox played against a Mets team that people think is a playoff contender, because I think if you're the White Sox and you've now gone through the worst season in MLB history last year, that is not going to get overshadowed by the Rockies, which I wrote about this week, and it is so much worse in Colorado right now. You now go into 2025 with young players that you're really excited about and a plan of attack of going into your future. And I think for me, I look at the White Sox and I say, the baseball looks better in 2025 than it did in 2024, right? Like, you're seeing slow incremental development at the big league level, right? You're seeing guys that, you know, looked like a fish out of water last year starting to figure it out this year. Miguel Vargas, the White Sox fans were not happy after he came over from the Dodgers last year. He couldn't buy a hit. He's been their best player so far this season, right? That was a guy who's been one of the top prospects in baseball for a long time. And, hey, everybody's not going to respond the same way to getting traded, and sometimes you just have those rough patches. But they still really believed in him as a player, and you're starting to see why. You know, the guy's hitting third for you right now. So I think it's important to see the White Sox play well against good teams, even if you don't win the series and you're not winning games, because – for them this season, it's not about, oh, we got to make it to the postseason. Like, you're in a space where you want to see development at the big league level, because that's, you got to be good before you can be great. And I think they're trying to get to that point where you can say, okay, we're good at this thing, or we're good at this thing, and being able to find your identity.
This segment with Russ is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. Russ, of course, the Yahoo Sports Major League Baseball insider and an insider and analyst for MLB Network and Friday Night Baseball on Apple TV+. I want to get into that Colorado Rockies story because we just saw them. We just saw them here. And people are asking, why weren't they beat by a bigger margin?
What they wanted was the White Sox. They wanted to see the Cubs do to the Rockies what the Cubs did to the White Sox. That's what they wanted.
And fair enough. But I want to know why you think this is worse than the worst season on record in baseball history.
Guys, the Rockies have 9 wins, and we're going to be in June here in a couple of days. That's not good. I think from a talent standpoint, the White Sox last year had more tradable assets than the Colorado Rockies do. And the most tradable asset that they've had over the last couple of years has been third baseman Ryan McMahon, who they chose not to trade over the last 2 seasons. And now he's having the worst offensive season of his career. Not good. Also, the White Sox, after their trade deadline, you know, moves where you move Eric Fetty, you move Tommy Pham, you move Michael Kopech, they were able to get prospect capital in return. And then they were able to flip Garrett Crochet in the offseason. And you look around at their farm system, you say, okay, there are like blue chippers in here. There are talented prospects in here. The Colorado Rockies don't have that, right? Outside of Chase Dolander, their top pitching prospect who just went on the IL, and Charlie Condon, who they drafted number 3 overall out of Georgia last year, they really don't have a ton of prospect capital, and a lot of the young players that they have are in the big leagues right now. Like, there's nothing coming to save the Rockies. And I think the third thing to make it worse for me is they have 9 wins going into June, and they play in the NL West with not one but 2 World Series contenders in the Dodgers and the Padres, and 2 postseason contenders in the Rockies and the Giants. Like, they're going to get their head kicked in every night for the next 5 months.
Wow. Yeah, well, when you put it that way.
Yeah, the White Sox, I get it, Russ, because the White Sox at least played in the AL Central, where there's, you know, teams that can beat them, but they're not world beaters. They're in a division with world beaters, and this is why it's going to be really hard.
Getting better, too.
Yes. It's why it's going to be hard for the Cubs, although I would like to see them get the number 1 seed in the National League. They might be able to do it on the strength of their division being so weak compared to the other 2, but every team in the NL West gets to beat up on the Rockies.
Every team in the NL West is going to make an acquisition at the deadline. Ooh. I can almost guarantee that. And so you're telling me all 4 teams above the Rockies are getting better. Like, I saw a stat the other day. They might finish 40 games behind the 4th place team in the division. That's insanity. I think the other thing, I don't think people know this. If you look at the Rockies front office, like Bill Schmidt's the GM, outside of one person, everybody in the Rockies front office has been in the front office since the team's inception. Since they became a team in 1991, most, if not all, of the members of, I think all but one of the members of the front office has been there since 1991.
That's crazy.
I don't know how you expect to win baseball games in 2025 with no new ideas. And you just have people in there that are like, oh, yeah, well, Tulo was nice. Like, he was a good player. We got that right. Like, I just don't know. Like, I don't think they have a plan.
Rocktober and was so fun.
It was. Matt Holliday, a dude. But you look at it, Matt Holliday has kids in the big leagues. that was a long time ago. So I think, you know, like, you look at an organization that has at times had success, but that success has been so sparse. And now you look at a situation where you don't really have young talent coming up. You don't really have a plan. I don't know how they're not now the worst team in baseball for the next 4-5 years.
Wow.
Like, it looks bleak.
Well, and also, I appreciate you pointing out something that we've discussed recently in a different way. We've talked about Will Venable's effect on the White Sox at this point of the season, at the Memorial Day check-in. But you go on in this article about Pedro Grifol. Why?
Well, I think for me, Pedro Grifol's tenure with the White Sox was unsuccessful, and it wasn't just because he got fired. Like, I think that's part of it. But I think when you look at the breath of fresh air that the organization got after he was fired, I think that says a lot about what his tenure meant for that team. And I think you have a guy in Will Venable that I've talked to people around the big leagues that think he was one of the best young minds available. And I think a lot of people were shocked that the White Sox were able to get him. I think the White Sox were shocked that they were able to get him. And I think you now have a running mate for Chris Getz that he feels confident that they can pair up and really turn this thing around for the White Sox. And I think that's really important because it just never felt like Chris Getz and Pedro Grifol were in lockstep. And when you have an arranged marriage like that, I can understand why. And so it feels like, we talk about the plan, like the Rockies not having one. It feels like the White Sox have a plan of attack of how they want to do this thing. And it might not work. It might not. Like, we've seen teams that have plans. We've seen the White Sox have plans before and not work. But the fact that you have one is really important.
Okay, Russ, so let's go back to the Cubs for a moment, because I've been really debating this because I'm trying to figure out how this wouldn't work out for the Cubs, what we're seeing this season. The bullpen has been phenomenal, even with the absence of Porter Hodge. Daniel Palencia has seemed to slide into this closer role. Brad Keller's pitched well. Caleb Philbar. I can go on and on and on. But let's go back to the rotation. Shota Imanaga expected back in the next 3 weeks or so. So I'm wondering, with Cade Horton, who's never pitched more than 88 innings, I believe. And then you've got Ben Brown, who's never pitched more than 104 innings. What should they do when Shota Imanaga comes back? Should one of those guys be sent down? Should they both go to the bullpen? You only have but so many bullets you're going to be able to throw with those guys.
I think, personally,
yes,
just the way things have gone, I'd keep Horton in the rotation. I'd move Ben Brown to the bullpen. And I say that based on how the last, I'd call it seven or so starts have gone for Ben Brown. I think that would allow him to kind of get a reset without having to get demoted to AAA. If they wanted to do that and keep him stretched out, cool. Like, I could, I'd 100% understand that. But if you're just asking me based off the question that you asked of which one would you move, I'd move Ben Brown to the bullpen. I'd keep my fireballer in the rotation and just, I'd rather have him getting outs in the big leagues than getting out to AAA, to be honest with you, especially once you've decided that he's going to be on your big league roster. I think this is one of the reasons that you waited to the point where you couldn't wait anymore to promote him, because it's like, all right, now we want him in the big leagues and we don't want to do this back and forth things. Because I think sometimes teams do that because they feel like that's the best strategy. I don't know if every guy responds the best to that. So, personal opinion, I'd keep Cade in the rotation.
That's Russ Dorsey, the Major League Baseball insider for Yahoo. And, of course, we'll catch your work on Apple TV on Friday Night Baseball. Thanks, Russ.
Thanks, Russ.
Thanks, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.